Praise the Lord. Thank you, Stacy and Jessica. Great song. What a blessing. Appreciate that. All right, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. What do those passages have in common? Three words. A faithful saying. That is exactly right. And that's the title of the message, A Faithful Saying. Father, I pray you bless the preaching. Thank you for the good music. God, it's always a blessing to be able to come to church. And I pray, God, that we'll get what we need today, that we'll get the help that we need, that we'll get the encouragement, that we'll get the strength and the learning and everything that we need, God. Please help us now. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Four faithful sayings in these verses, four different faithful sayings. And I think it's called a faithful saying because I think they were used that way because they were said so often. It was a faithful saying. In other words, I think that every time a preacher got up and preached, these things were said. I think it was something that certainly Paul, in teaching these young preachers, Timothy and Titus, obviously he said, okay, here is something you can preach. Here's something you can tell people. Here's something that it's never going to go wrong. It's never going to hurt you. It's always going to help. Here's something. This is a faithful saying. And I believe because it was said over and over and over and over again, these four things were said. I think they were spoken about in services and dealing with the issues of Paul's day and the issues certainly of these young preachers, Timothy and Titus, and I believe the issues of our day as well. It's a faithful saying. Faithful, what's that mean? It means you can count on it. These are sayings you can count on. They are true. They're true and they work. And they're always going to be right. It's interesting. Proverbs 25:19, it says, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. I love that verse. And that is a good description of being unfaithful. So I would have to believe that the opposite is going to be faithful. You know, you ever have a broken tooth or a tooth with a cavity and you don't want to eat an apple? I mean, you're nervous about eating that apple. You don't count on it. Or maybe you have a broken tooth and you don't chew on that side because you're afraid that tooth is going to totally fall apart and that nerve's going to get exposed and there's nothing good about that at all. Or you have a sprained ankle and what do? You limp. You don't put all your weight on it. But a faithful thing. See, that's an unfaithful man. But a faithful man, you can count on that. You can go ahead and because of that faithfulness, you could bite into that apple. You can walk on that leg. You can count on something that's faithful. You can bank on it. You can plan on it. These sayings are something you can trust in. These sayings, you can, you know, if you teach Sunday school, here's four things. You can always count on it. They'll never, never do you wrong. They're always true. You can stand up. You can have confidence in these things. You know, it's a faithful saying. These are things that people passed on. You know, this is something Grandpa would have taught to his son, who would teach to his son, and they would just pass it on because, hey, these are faithful sayings. This is always true. This is something you can count on. If you're going through tough times, you can count on these things. If it's a time of doubt, here's four things you can count on. You know, if you're tired of listening to politicians tell you things, you know, if you're tired of listening to the newscaster tell you things, if you're tired of the weatherman saying it's not going to rain and it rains, those are not necessarily faithful sayings. But here's four things. You can count on it. I mean, you can count on these things all the time. And so Paul says to Timothy and to Titus, he says, hey, listen, preach these things. He says, here's four things you can preach. You can count on it. These things are going to help your people. These are going to help in times of trials. These are going to help in times of growth. Here's four things that never go wrong. They are faithful sayings. Faithful to help. Faithful to teach. Faithful to help us to grow, to be what we need to be. Four faithful sayings. Number one, the first one, 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15. This is a faithful saying. Timothy, you can count on this. This is a faithful saying. It's true. It's always right. It never goes wrong. This is a faithful saying. Pass it on. And worthy of all acceptation. Everybody can accept this saying. You can count on it. It's for everybody. Notice what it is. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He says Christ Jesus came to save sinners. You can count on that. That is a faithful saying. Now he's saying, Timothy, preach that. Christ Jesus came to save sinners. You can count on it. Times change, fads change, things change, but that never changes. Amen? You can plan on that. Preach it, Timothy. You know, my wife and I had a trip down memory lane these last few days, and it caused me to think back to getting saved. You know, that preacher preached that Christ Jesus came to save sinners. That preacher preached that I could be saved. That preacher preached to a long-haired hippie freak and a guy that wanted nothing to do with church, a guy that wanted nothing to do with the Bible. That preacher preached and other preachers preached that same thing. You know, it was a faithful saying back in the 70s. It was a faithful saying back in 1975. It was a faithful saying that preachers preached that, hey, Christ Jesus came to save sinners. Isn't that good? I mean, you know, a lot of folks have missed that. Some liberal churches, they don't even talk about Jesus saving sinners. They don't even talk about how Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Listen to me. It's not by works of righteousness which we've done, but it's according to His mercy. Christ Jesus came to save sinners. Amen. That's the main subject. Amen. It's not religion. It's not church. It's not being saved by Mary. It's not being saved by the Pope. It's being saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to seek and to save that which lost. And it's a faithful saying. Hey, when is the last time you told somebody Christ Jesus came to save sinners? We talk about all kinds of unfaithful things, don't we, throughout the day. We talk about our favorite team. Boy, our favorite team lets us down every time, don't they? Many of you, yours did yesterday. Anyway, but you know what? One thing will never let you down. It's a faithful thing. You can count on that saying. Doesn't matter who you're talking to. You can talk to somebody who's a drug addict. Amen. You can talk to somebody who's an alcoholic. You can talk to somebody who's living in immorality. You can talk to somebody whose life is a wreck. You can talk to people on Skid Row. You can talk to the millionaire. And guess what? It's a faithful saying. Christ Jesus came to save sinners. That was the main subject of the early church. Timothy, you're never going to go wrong. In fact, every week, go ahead, just preach. Christ Jesus came to save sinners. It's faithful saying. It's a faithful saying. You know, it is the main thing that goes on at Berean Baptist Church. It needs to continue to be the main thing. It needs to always be the main thing. And until the rapture takes place and we're all gone, bless God, it ought to be the main thing. It is the heartbeat of this ministry. I'm talking about the bus ministry, Sunday school classes, junior church, vacation Bible school, the fair ministry, prison ministry, shepherd's ministry, Spanish ministry, Berean Baptist Academy, our puppet ministry, our deaf ministry, our senior saints ministry. Everything should have at the center of it a faithful saying. Christ Jesus came to save sinners. Isn't that wonderful? He came to save sinners. By the way, don't miss out on that last word. Sinners. Huh? He came to save sinners. And I love what Paul says to young Timothy. He says this, of whom I am chief. He came to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. Hey, Timothy, preach it. Make sure people know you know what you are. Make sure people know you had to get saved. Make sure people know we don't just evolve into Christians. Make sure people know you must be born again. And that's who Jesus came to save. Those who know they need to be saved and know they need to be born again and know they need to become a new creature. Amen. Hey, he says, Timothy, that is a faithful saying. You can count on it. Christ Jesus came to save sinners. You'd never know it by many, many churches. Don't ever become like that, folks, where you think, oh, look at the sinner. That's who he came to save. Amen. I mean, boy, be thrilled when folks come in and they look a little strange. Be thrilled. I'm telling you, the young hippie couple that walked into the Marian Baptist Temple back in 1976 and walked into that church service, nobody would have picked us out as being a pastor of an independent fundamental Bible-believing church someday. We were the least likely to be in that kind of ministry. We were the least likely to go off to Bible college. We were the if you would have gone through that congregation and you would have picked it, you would have looked at that one couple that always sat up there and they looked sharp. Boy, they looked like a good, godly Christian couple. By the way, they're divorced today. But here's the hippie couple. And because why? Because Christ Jesus came to save sinners. He came to save sinners. Not the righteous, not the good people. He came to save those that are lost, those that know they're lost, those that know they need to be saved. Sinners, not saints. Paul said, of whom I am chief. Let's not forget who he saves. Hey, it's a faithful saying. Why would we forget about something that's a faithful saying? Some of this wacky stuff they're coming up with today, the Lutheran church, you know, I shouldn't have read it in the newspaper, but the Lutheran church now, we're going to have more and more reverends that are homosexuals, lesbians, and the whole bit, you know, and that's who's going to lead their flock. Where are they leading? Not to this book. Hey, but see, you know, well, we've made a statement and we want everybody to know our statement. Well, you know, you can have your statement. You can keep your statement. Your statement's going to go and rot in hell someday. But here's a faithful saying right here. You must be born again. Christ came to die. He came to save sinners. He'll save a lost sinner. And we need to tell people about Jesus Christ and how he came to save sinners. We don't want to, you know, don't whitewash the sin. Let the sin be known and preach about the sin. But boy, make sure and let people know Christ Jesus came to save sinners. Let's not forget who he saves, amen? Let's not forget that he'll save anybody. Let's not forget that there's a whole bunch of folks out there. They're not the enemy. They need Jesus, amen? Amen. I mean, we've got more and more neighbors now. It's amazing. You know, and every year, it's especially with all the foreclosures and rentals are springing up, and now all around our area, we've got folks, kids will come to the parking area, and they'll go out to the playground. Sometimes they'll tear things up. But I got news for you. You know, it's just a great, great soul-winning ground. Kathy, you don't have to go to your secret spot anymore. Just come out here to our parking lot. Amen. And you'll find folks, new people all the time. We're having a good time. Amen. And you know, sometimes folks will come, they, you know, and you'll see them, and they don't look like our teenagers. They don't look like folks that we're used to. That's okay. They need Jesus. Amen. And that's a faithful thing. It's a faithful saying. Christ Jesus came to save sinners. We were driving through our town where we started a church in Bern, Indiana, and it just made me think of all kinds of things. And you know how a church is known. Are sinners welcome or not? Huh? That's how churches are known. Sinners should be welcome, amen? Sinners should be expected. It kind of disappoints me when I look out and it just doesn't look like there's any sinners out there. Of course, we know better, don't we? Yes, we really do. But it, you know, sinners welcome, sinners expected. I was thinking about back there when we started our church, and it was a huge Mennonite area. And Mennonite was you know, the big Mennonite church was a very liberal church. And they used to be a solid church, very solid. Used to have soul-winning ministries, but it had become very liberal. And so they didn't, needless to say, they didn't like us very well. And we started our church and started out with soul-winning and started out with an altar call. First, actually, our Sunday night service, we had two people saved on our first day of starting the church. And everybody knew that's what we did. I mean, anytime there was somebody that needed to be saved, people would say, well, they ought to go to Faith Baptist Church. Huh? You know, I think Berean Baptist has that reputation too. I really do. I think over the years, I run into too many people that remember, you know, the bus ministry and Brother Jenkins that's the church where you tell people how to get saved. You know, it seems like every church ought to do that. But anyway, what a blessing to be known for that. I remember somebody telling me, one of the big shots at the Mennonite church, and, you know, one of these guys that, you know, he had a lot of money and owned a business there in Bern. And he said, you know, he said, I don't attend your church. Whenever I go away for a vacation, I always go to a Baptist church. I said, really? I said, well, you know, you don't attend our church when you're here. Well, you know, I gotta go to the Mennonite church, and that's where my family goes, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And what he's saying is he needs to go where he thinks he'll make more money. But that's okay. But here's what he said, and I'll never forget this. He said, but I'll tell you what. He said, if I had a lost friend or a lost loved one who would come to church with me, I'd bring him to your church. Oh, man, that was so good. Why? Because like Timothy and like Titus, somebody told me there's a faithful saying you can always count on. Faithful thing you can always preach on. Faithful thing you can tell everybody about. Christ Jesus came to save sinners. Hey, listen, count on it, folks. Count on it. You say, I got an opportunity to preach at the prison. I got an opportunity to teach Sunday school. I got an opportunity to speak to some folks. Hey, you know what? Count on that saying right there. Christ Jesus came to save sinners. Number two faithful saying is in 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 4, and I like this. 1 Timothy 4:8. It says, for bodily exercise profiteth little. Amen. Boy, that justifies you sitting around doing nothing, doesn't it? No, that's not what it's saying. But anyway, we do like that little verse right there, that little part. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Number two, faithful saying, the eternal is more profitable than the temporal. Just, you can count on that every time. You know, you don't have to worry about that. The eternal is more profitable than the temporal. That's the today. That's the now. Eternal is much, much better. Oh, it's always going to be better. See, it talks here about two lives. It talks here about, first of all, the life that now is. Okay? It says in verse 8, the middle here, having promise of the life that now is. Now that's one life it talks about here. That's where we are right now. That's, if you exercise, you are going to help the life that now is. If you exercise, you're going to benefit the life that now is. I told you about Dr. Brown, and he was getting on me about not doing my exercise. I got convicted about it because, you know, if you're going to go to a doctor, you ought to listen to what he says. Amen. And I got convicted about that because I thought about all the church people and teens and folks I've preached to that I think you come to the preacher and you listen to the preaching, you ought to do what he says. So I thought I ought to do what the doctor says. So I'm doing my exercise. But here's something I learned about my exercise. Dr. Brown didn't say, hey, have you been doing your exercises? And I said, yeah, 20 years ago I did them. You know why I didn't say that? Because I knew he would have just looked at me like I'm nuts. Because he's not talking about whether I did them 20 years ago. He's talking about, did you just do them this past week? Because you know what? We have to keep doing them. We can't just do them once and say, well, I did my exercises, so everything's all right. No, because it doesn't last. That's what's sad about exercises. They don't last. You know, seriously, I'll see some guy get all slim and trim and, you know, real muscular kind of a fella. And you know, it's like after a week sometimes, it's like he's back to that. You think, what happened? It didn't last. Why? Because bodily exercise profiteth little. It only lasts in this life for a temporary time. It's kind of like a woman putting on makeup. Doesn't last. No guy dares even smile. I know how it is, but it doesn't last. You have to keep doing it. It's like going to a doctor. That doesn't last. Going to the dentist. Oh, I got my teeth cleaned 20 years ago. He's like, ooh. You know, oh, I brushed my teeth 20 years ago. Ooh. Wow. Well, they get clean every time I eat. Ooh. But those things are temporal. You know, that's why you have to keep doing them over and over again. But the things of God, see, that's what he's talking about. There's two lives here. There's a life that now is, and then the Bible says, and of that which is to come. See, there's a life that is today. It's now. It's here. And then there's also that life that is to come. Now see, we who are investing in just today, we're not thinking very well. Hello? It's a faithful saying that the eternal is a better deal than the temporal. The eternal, you know, the life that now is and that which is to come, that's what I need to invest in. That's what I need to put my effort toward. Amen? Not just the life that now is. And you know what? That's what most of us are the most concerned about, is the life that now is. But what about that which is to come? Huh? What about that? See, that's why he says, bodily exercise profiteth little. Because it's just for the life that now is. And you got to keep doing it. You have to keep going. And by the way, listen, you're still going to die someday. Right? I mean, the body. So all that exercise, you know, and some people have the idea, what's it matter? If I die with big bulging muscles or if I die with a big bulging stomach? I'm going to die. Some people have that attitude. I'm just saying this. There is something that profits both. And that's godliness, it says. Why? Because God takes care of you here, and he's going to take you there. Amen. And that's the very best way. Matthew 6:20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. We were talking about the 69 Camaro, where I pulled up and met my wife. I was driving it. And she said, you know, I wonder where that is. And I laughed. I know where it is. It is rust. You say, how do you know it's rust now? Because it was half rust then. Amen? It was really a good color because the paint and the rust kind of matched. Oh, boy, you know, I'm gonna put everything into this thing. Why would you put everything into anything that's not going to last? See, it doesn't make sense. And it's a faithful saying. Hey, Timothy, you tell everybody that eternal things are better by far than temporal. Now, there are some temporal things we have to deal with. That's why he says bodily exercise, it profits little. There is some profit from it. But it's not as great as spiritual exercise. It's not. For example, you know, I need to exercise because of back pain and stuff like that, and that's going to profit me somewhat. But what I really need to exercise is my soul in reading the Scripture and spending time with God. Godliness, it profits today and tomorrow. It profits now and in heaven. It's going to profit me eternally rather than just now. You know, honestly, I think back to the days I carried a brush. That didn't profit me much, did it? You know? I mean, seriously, you think about it. I know people that they used to brush their teeth all the time. Now they soak them. Look, you know, I was thinking about this. My IRA... poof. How's your IRA doing? Huh? You say, what IRA? That's what I'm talking about. You mean my $5 in savings? I've transferred it over to a Christmas account? Yeah. Yeah. And you can't even retire at Christmas. Poof. Isn't that right? Be honest, okay? They always tell you, you know, Edward Jones... solid investment. Really? How solid is it? I'm going to tell you something. It is not solid at all. Well, you say, invest in houses. Really? Huh. I wonder how folks who invested in houses are doing. The last time I looked, there's two columns of rentals available. I'm just saying, look, we do those things, and it's not wrong to do those things, but if you put everything into that, hey, what about eternal things? My first $5 that I gave to Faith Promise Missions, guess what? it's worth a whole bunch in heaven. Hello? It's worth a whole bunch now. I mean, it's worth a bunch now, but when I get to heaven, I'm going to find out what it really is worth. I remember as a new convert, they had a missions conference. I had just gotten baptized. I mean, I was still a long-haired hippie, but I can get $5 a week. And I remember signing a little pledge thing, you know, like we do. $5. That was big for me. I mean, I worked at the gas station, didn't make a whole lot. $5. I started giving to Faith Promise before I even knew how to tithe. When I put my name on there, well, we ought to learn this. When I put my name on there, I'm going to give $5 a week. That was going to happen no matter what. And I remember putting that $5 bill in the plate for Faith Promise Missions. Hadn't really thought about it until just recently. Wonder what that's worth in heaven now. I wonder all those missionaries. I'm thinking about missionaries that were in Africa, missionaries that were in Europe, missionaries that were in South America. Hundreds, thousands of people saved. Then they lead people to Christ. And all these years, all these people have gotten saved. My $5 is probably doing pretty good. It's got to be. $5. And you know what? We go to Wendy's or McDonald's and spend $5, and we won't talk about where that goes. But that's whoopee. You know. Oh boy, I'm not saying we ought not go to Wendy's or McDonald's or any of those. I'm just saying, look, hey, listen to me. There's something eternal. And that's the faithful saying. The eternal is more profitable than the temporal. It is always true. Not just in treasure, but in everything we do. Godliness is eternal. Reading your Bible, praying, getting right with God at an altar, coming to church faithfully, putting money in the plate when God speaks to your heart. That first time that God spoke to my heart to give that young man $25 going to Bible college, when we were going to Bible college, wiped out the checking account, $25. Who knows where that thing is now? $25 given to a young kid going to Bible college, and who knows what all he did. I'm excited to find out when I get to heaven. That's an investment of $25. Amen. And you know, that $25, we could buy all kinds of things that are going to go nowhere. You're always better off with the eternal. That's why you come to church. God, speak to me eternally. I want to do something eternal. I could talk sports scores with anybody here, and that's just temporal, Lord. I can talk about Detroit's big win last week. And that was temporal, because it didn't happen this week, right? Boy, I can talk about these things, and they're just temporal. But hey, if I talk about Jesus, if I ask you, God, and open my heart for you to speak to me about something eternal, that's going to change my life. That's going to help me eternally. If I get on this altar, that's why, you know, the invitation's the most important time of the day. Because you're making eternal decisions. Eternal. It's more important than what you're going to eat for lunch. It's more important than, am I going to get something with my cash for clunkers? It's eternal. It's eternal. Timothy, preach it. The eternal is more profitable than the temporal. Number three, 2 Timothy 2, verse 11. And this is so good. I'm really close to being done. If the people here in the front look intelligent for the next few minutes, we're going to be out of here. Then you can try to decide what you're going to eat that won't last. Yeah, it'll last. Mine always lasts around my waist. 2 Timothy 2, verse 11, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. What's that? I would just put it this way, the future's bright. It's a faithful saying. Timothy, preach it, man. Timothy, tell them all. Tell them that Christ Jesus came to save sinners. Number two, tell them the eternal is more profitable than the temporal. Number three, tell them the future's bright. It's really, really bright. Oh, you say, I read the paper. Yeah, I know. That's why you need a faithful saying letting you know it's okay. The future is really good. The future's bright. The future could not be brighter for the Christian. Could not be better for the child of God. Oh, but preacher, don't you understand what's going on? Well, I do understand what's going on. I'm excited about what's going on. I'm excited about what the choir sang about. And I sat there waiting on the rapture to take place anytime. Amen. Future's bright. I'd rather the rapture than a car wreck. I'd rather the rapture than drowning. I'd rather the rapture than burning up. I'd rather the rapture than cancer. I mean, I'd like the rapture. That'd be exciting. Poof, we're gone. Poof is my big word today. Look for it again later, I'm sure. But the future's bright. Recently, I read to Jerry Kirschke. And right before that, I read to Claire Laux, one of my favorite passages of Scripture. John chapter 14. Look at it real quick. I'm telling you, it's a faithful saying. You can count on it. You can hold on to it. It'll hold on to you. John 14, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. You say, preacher, why would you read that to someone who's dying? Because the future's bright. They need to know the future's bright. In my Father's house are many mansions. Can you see them in your mind? If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Now you can count on that, folks. You can just plan on that. Jesus said, if I go and prepare that place for you, he said, I'm going to come again. And he says, I'm going to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He's been preparing a place for me for a lot of years now. Amen. I'm telling you, it's not just some little shack. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. It's not like some of you, you know, you live in the doghouse with your spouse. You get to heaven, you're not going to be in a doghouse. You're going to be in the big house. Amen. And that's not the jail. I'm talking about the mansion. I'm talking about big old white pillars. Amen. I mean, look, you sit here and say, oh, I don't know what we're going to do. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going up. Amen. I don't know when I'm going up, but I'm going up. And every day that goes on, it gets closer to going up. Like I say, I don't want old age. I'd rather the rapture take place. I'd rather flap my arms on the way. Amen? You know, I'm serious about that. The future is bright. The future's bright. It's a faithful saying. You know, Paul said, hey, Timothy, a lot of your congregation's going to die. They're going to die a very young age. They're going to be persecuted. Some of them are going to go to prison. Some of them are going to die in the Colosseum. They're going to die. Timothy, tell them. You can count on this. Tell them the future's looking real good. Tell them the future is bright, because if we die, we live. If we die with Him, we also shall live with Him. That's a faithful saying. You can rest on it. You can count on it. It's called the blessed hope. It's the blessed hope. We know it. We know that one day, we're going to be with Him. In Timothy's day, they had persecution much worse than anything we've seen. Much worse, probably, than we will see in this day. But it's the same hope that we have. The same hope. Really, nothing can go wrong. Nothing. Because the future's bright. It's a faithful saying. Timothy, let them know that. Hey, you know what? We need to let people know that too. People are just, oh, it's all over. You know, it's not all over for me. It's just getting started. The future's bright. And then the last thing, number four, Titus chapter 3. And verse 8, Titus 3:8. Here's another faithful saying. Here's another saying. Hey, Titus, you can count on this. Let them know. preach it, teach it. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. What's he saying? He's saying, hey, it's a faithful saying. Maintain good works. Just tell them, do right. Keep it going. Maintain it. If you're doing good things, keep doing them. Running a bus, keep running the bus. Teaching Sunday school, keep teaching Sunday school. If you're going soul winning, keep going soul winning. Maintain those good works. What's good? Is letting people go to hell good? No. Is letting people starve to death good? No. Is letting people suffer good? No. Is letting people sorrow all by themselves good? No. Then let's do some good works. Let's do some good works. People that gripe and complain all the time, I always tell them, hey, go find somebody that has it worse than you. And love them. Well, I don't know if anybody has it. Go to a nursing home. Go visit a nursing. Go soul winning in some of the rough areas of our town. There's always somebody that's got it worse than you. Always. You don't have to spend much time in a nursing home. You'll find somebody that's got it pretty bad. Listen. Interview folks in our church. You'll find somebody that's got it worse than you do. Amen. What do we do? Well, just do good. Find those folks and be nice. Find somebody who's got a frown and shake their hand and say, hey, boy, I'm glad to see you. Amen. Maintain. People are suffering. People are sorrowing. Why should they sorrow alone when they have a church? Amen. He says, be careful to maintain. What's that? I think of maintenance. I think of a well-oiled machine. And we need to be well-oiled in the good works area. We need to be, shouldn't have any squeaky parts in the good works area. That's why the buses have to keep going. That's good works. Amen. That's why Shepherd's Ministry, it has to keep going. That's good works. That's why Senior Citizens Ministry, that keeps going. It's good works. That's why the Reformers Unanimous has to keep going. That's good works. Prison Ministry has to keep going. That's good works. Amen. Be good to people. Forgive people. Don't covet what belongs to others. Don't envy people. Kindness. That's good works. Some of you used to write little notes. You quit doing that. Why? We try to figure too much out. What we need to do is just write those little notes. Somebody plays a special and they ought to get some little notes. Boy, that was a nice special. Thank you. Especially you sit there and you enjoy it. Amen. That's good works. Huh? Saying nice things to people. That's good works. Notice what he said to Titus. I love this. He said, I will that thou affirm constantly. What's that mean? He says, you keep preaching it. You keep telling them. Be careful. Maintain good works. Just keep preaching it. Affirm it constantly. Preach it. Preach it. Do right. Do right. Do right. Do right. Just keep preaching it, Titus. Why? Because you can count on it. You can count on it. You can plan on it. I guarantee you, I promise you this. I know this to be true. Teenager after teenager after teenager, and I'm sure many adults, you've been tempted to do wrong, and all you hear is the voice of the preacher, do right. Now, you might have gone ahead and done wrong, but bless God, you knew there was one true statement. You knew there was one thing that is always can be counted on, and that is, hey, maintain good works. Just do right. You can count on that. You can count on that, and you can count on God blessing you when you do right. And whether He blesses you or not, you still need to do right. And whether you get a pat on the back, you should still do right. And whether everybody comes up and says, boy, you're such a good guy because you just do right, doesn't matter. You still should do right. Amen. Amen. These sayings, Christ Jesus came to save sinners. The eternal is more profitable than the temporal. The future is bright. Maintain good works. These sayings, these are faithful sayings. These are true sayings. These are sayings that can be counted on. These are sayings that you and I have no right to keep to ourselves. We need to pass it on. They're faithful sayings. When's the last time you told somebody Christ Jesus came to save sinners? When's the last time you told somebody, hey, you know what? Eternal things are more profitable. Does your lifestyle even show that? When's the last time when everybody was negative and griping and complaining, you said, you know what? Hey, heaven is my home. Future's looking good. When's the last time you encourage people, just do right? And when's the last time you did right and you just did good things and maintain those good things? You know, don't keep that stuff to yourself. They're faithful sayings. They need to be proclaimed all over our community. You know, everybody ought to know this is a place where people get saved. It's not the only place. People can get saved anywhere. But here is a place where that is proclaimed. People ought to know that. People ought to know that, hey, Berean Baptist, there's a place. People really believe in eternal things there. Hey, Berean Baptist Church, those people walk out. I'm terrified to even think how some people walk out. Because I see you sometimes during the week, and it's like you're going to trip over your lower lip. Honestly, I'm serious. Lower lip-itis, scary thing. But we ought to be walking out excited. Neighbors ought to see you coming home instead of fighting with each other. They ought to see you coming home happy, joyful. Why? Because it's okay. Future's great. And boy, if anybody does good works, it ought to be Berean Baptist Church. We ought to be known for good works. Maintain good works. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. No one's looking around. No one's talking. I wonder if there's someone here today who'd say, Preacher, I've never trusted Jesus as my Savior. If I died, I don't even know if I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure that I'm saved. You're here today and you'd say, I'm not sure of that. I've never trusted Christ as Savior. Please pray for me. Would you raise your hand? Anyone like that? Pray for me. I do not know whether I'm going to heaven. Pray for me. Pray for me. Anyone? Pray for me. I do not know whether I'm saved. How many would say, Preacher, I am a Christian. I am saved. No doubt about that. God has spoken to my heart about something today. Please pray for me. Raise your hand all over. As a Christian, God's speaking to your heart about something. Father, thank you again for speaking to our hearts. Thank you for these faithful sayings. Lord, I've hung on to them for all these years. I've tried to preach them. And Lord, I pray that would be our heartbeat. These things, these faithful sayings we can count on. And I thank you for saving this sinner. And I pray, God, that you'll help us to learn today and that we'll make the decisions you've laid on our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. 270-270. Just as I am, God's speaking to your heart. You have a decision to make. If you need to come while we sing on the first verse, you come.
Just as I am. But that the blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, just as I am, and to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, the instruments continue to play. If you need to make a decision today, God's spoken to your heart, please come. Don't hesitate. Kneel at an old-fashioned altar. Make the decision God's laid on your heart. It's a faithful saying. These are things you can count on. Do you make this life, the temporal, do you make that the most important part of your life? Or do you have some things you're looking forward to in the eternal? You know, if we're constantly saying, well, I feel, That's temporal. That's temporal. I know that's eternal. Can be for the Christian. How's the good works? Well, I used to. Yeah, what are you doing now? What are you doing now? Have you been discouraged, down, depressed? Boy, the future's bright. That's a faithful saying. These things were preached. They were talked about. The early Christians, these were faithful. These were the topics that were talked about. They work then. They work today. One more verse. If you need to come, come on this verse. Amen. All right. Well, do you have ensemble practice? 4:30 and everything else at 5. As always, 6 o'clock, the evening service. Trust you'll be back with us for that. And again, all the announcements. The Chase Missionary Group meet tonight right after the service in the teen room. Brother Don, would you close in prayer, please?
Father, we are thankful for your word that is always faithful. Lord, from it are many promises, and that of eternal salvation, Father, of a hope in heaven, Lord, forgiveness from sin. And Lord, may we, as we go this week, share these faithful sayings with those we encounter, we pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.